did an analogy with Brother Joshua, Brother Finn, and also Brother Deontay, body, soul, spirit. In Genesis, the Lord said, we won't be very long because it's already bedtime for some. But we went over what the word says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And God, the Lord God, Jehovah, formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the body. Breathed into man the breath of life, which is God's spirit, Ruach. And man became a living soul or living being. And that's the soul. And there you have the trichotomy of man. Man is basically triune, even as God is triune. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And I know many of us are already aware of this, but for those who aren't aware of it, just be patient and wait, because God may speak something within the next couple of minutes. But we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And we have to keep that perspective, because we have to know what area we're functioning in. In the beginning, God intended for us to walk in the spirit. Even though we have a soul and we live in a body. Why? Because God is spirit, and he wanted us to commune with him. His way of communing with us was through our spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned, we died spiritually. When God said, I give to you every tree in the garden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst, for the day that you eat of that tree, you shall die. Well, they didn't die physically, and their being still existed, but spiritually they died. And so God then had to commune to man or with man through man's soul and body. But his desire is to commune spirit with spirit. We became spiritually dead to God. And so that was the beginning of the fall. And what God did in the beginning, he wanted to bring back full circle to perfection and completion, because God is a good God. He said, this is all good. It's very good. The way it was in the beginning is the way it's going to end up being again. Jesus, when he had risen from the dead and he came and saw the disciples in the room, he did essentially what the Father did in the beginning. God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. Now, the scripture doesn't say it, and I don't think I'm out on a tangent, but more than likely, God breathed into Eve as well, because he took the rib of man, and then he formed woman separate, apart from man, and then he brought her to man to see what man would call her. And Adam said she is woman, because she was taken out of man. Jesus, in that room with the disciples, breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 20, I believe it is. And from that point on, the Spirit of God was inside of man, the way God intended. What do I mean by that? We know what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen? On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Spirit of God came suddenly as a rushing mighty wind, but he came. Come on, say it. He came upon them. Well, he came in tongues of fire, yes. But he came upon them. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, ye shall receive power after that, after which the Holy Ghost comes in you, upon you. But just as surely as God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living being, Jesus breathed on the disciples, receive the Holy Ghost, receive the Spirit of God once again. And so now, and see, God didn't have to breathe into Cain and Abel. And when Cain killed Abel, God didn't have to breathe into Seth because he breathed into Adam. And so likewise, he didn't have to breathe into every disciple, but he breathed into the key disciples that were there in that room. And from that point on, when we received Jesus, we received the pneuma, the spirit of the living God, to come and dwell within us. But we need him to clothe us, to come upon us, to empower us to be an effective witness for him in the earth. We have to remember those three components of man: body, soul, spirit, because they represent something. The body represents the flesh, the carnality of man, controlled by the senses, seeing, touching, hearing, tasting, smelling. What else is there? Was it one more? I did a name all five. Touching. I did say touching. Hearing. I did say hearing. Seeing. I did say smelling. Tasting. That's it. Okay. And so, you know, that the body is ruled by that. It's ruled by what it sees. You know, the Word of God says that there are three things in the world that are of the world. John says it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These three are in the world, of the world, but they're not of God. They're not from God. And so man, if he becomes body ruled, he's governed by his appetite, his physical appetite, and that's what he goes after. And I compared this last fast to a 21-day fast that we went on years ago in Pittsburgh under when we were Shiloh Christian Center. And that was a pivotal fast. I mean, it was one that I had never gone that distance before. And there was a tremendous breakthrough that took place at that time. And over this last 7-day fast, there was a tremendous breakthrough that took place at that time. And I saw something that not only took place in the realm of the spirit, which was good, but also in the natural. I learned about the fasting itself, because when you do fast, your body begins to purify itself. When God says your healing shall spring forth speedily, that's all connected with the fast that he calls. And one thing that I noticed is that stuff that was kind of bothering no longer bothered anymore. I'm not talking about worry type of stuff. I'm talking about aches or things like that. I even felt better down in my knees, if you can believe that. It wasn't losing the weight. It was the purifying of the body, ridding itself of all of those toxic impurities and things that you put in on a daily basis. Your body needs to get rid of that stuff, and the only way it can get rid of it is if you go on a fast, a complete fast, not a partial, because with the partial or with the, you know, whether it's vegetables or whatever, you know, no meat, no sweets, you know, no meat or whatever, you know, it doesn't give a chance for the body to really cleanse itself. But when you shut off food altogether and just put water in your body to help flush the system, you know how they do with the commode? How do you get rid of the waste? Flush the thing. And so you allow your body to get flushed, and next thing you know, you think when you, on the other side of it where you haven't done it, and you're like, you're going into it, you kind of, oh, how am I going? I don't know if I can go that long. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And it's like, your body will make it. Your body is made to go 40 days without food. Your body is made to go 40 days without food. So 21 days is not a problem. 7 days is not a problem. In order to have a good fast, you got to go at least 7 days. I can't do it. That's what your flesh will tell you. That's how you know what you're being governed by. Your flesh will tell you, no, you can't do that. You're going to die. You won't die. Think on it. You will not die. And what will begin to happen is you will see just how dominant the physical body has been, And a lot of stuff that people go through, including, this is not condemnation, okay? So don't nobody get that way. But a lot of the ailments, a lot of the pains and the discomforts that we have in our physical body are a direct result of all of the stuff, the contaminants, the toxins that are there. And if we never give the body the opportunity to purge itself through fasting, you will continue to have those aches. And then the next thing you know, you're going to a doctor to get some medication that's only going to compound the problem because the medication is not going to cure it. What your body is telling you, hey, I need to get rid of some stuff. And believe me, you don't have to go buy some colon cleansing stuff. I mean, you could take that short route if you want to, but you can just do some of the natural things. And it was astounding. I was like, praise God. I was ready to eat on the, come Sunday afternoon, but still, it's like, man, this was a better fast than I've had since the 21-day fast. And so are we going to get addicted to fasting? No, we're going to go on the Lord's fast, praise God. But we're going to do it as God leads us, but do it his way. Amen? And so the body, if you allow it, it will control you. But you don't want to be controlled by your body. You were not created to be controlled by your body. Your body is not supposed to be in charge. Your spirit man is supposed to be in charge. Jesus said this. Even Jesus breaks down the components. He says in Matthew chapter 26, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. That soul, that word soul comes from the Greek word psuche. Now, some people think that the soul and the spirit are one and the same, but they're not. There's a distinction between them. He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, your thoughts, your intellect, if you will, your mind, your will, what I want to do. I'm doing what I want to do. That's your soul. It's governed by emotions, if you will, feelings. Well, I feel this way. I feel this way. I feel this way. And so your mind, your soul will take over and it'll have you doing soulless things. You know, you heard of soulless ties. It's because you get hooked on a person soullessly. The physical is probably what will draw you, and it may not be the physical. It could just be you see somebody that you like, you build a relationship with them, and then next thing you know, you're hooked. And you can't find yourself separating from them, even if it's to your own, if it's to your own detriment to stay together, you still find yourself there. Why? Because soullessly, you are connected. You have those feelings for the person. And you're not to be governed by your soul. What does the word have to say? Well, the word has to say this about the flesh. Let your flesh be crucified with its passions or its desires. And with the soul, James says it like this. Receive ye with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Paul said this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, soul realm, so that you can prove and approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the soul realm, it's eternal. The physical, the body, it is temporal. It's a temporal house. And one day when this house shuts down, my soul and my spirit have to have another house because they're getting evicted out of this one. This body goes to the dust. My soul and my spirit goes and resides in heaven waiting for that body that is incorruptible and undefiled. This is why we don't get into going after those that have gone on. They're not thinking about us. If anything, there's a grandstand of those that are cheering us on. Run the race! But other than that, they're not like waiting for us to pray to them, talk to them, fellowship and commune with them. No, that's worshiping the dead. They're gone now. Next time we see them, we'll recognize them. But you won't be up there saying, hey, mama, hey, grandma, hey, dad. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're the family of God in the kingdom. We'll recognize each other for who we are, but we won't be operating the same. Hallelujah. And so what's left, you have the body, you have the soul, I'm going to make this quick, and then you have the spirit of man. That's the part of man that's in the image and likeness of God. How do we know? Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is, he is spirit. King James says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the body that we have reserved for us in heaven is a spiritual body. It's not a physical body. Once this returns to the dust, that's it. It's over. But we got a spiritual body that's in the image and likeness of God. We don't know what we shall look like, John says. But what we do know is we're going to look like him. Praise be to God. Clothed in our spiritual body and our soul, and we will be whole for all eternity. Stand to your feet. I'm going to let you go home. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory. Glory. Is there more? Of course there's more. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard, that you're continuing to work. You're continuing to make yourself known. You're continuing to bless your sons and daughters, none lacking, none missing out on anything, all being made whole in you. Lord, may we continue to walk this walk, for your word tells us, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk, march like a soldier in the Spirit of the living God. And may we find unspeakable joy in our fellowship with you, that you may be glorified in everything that we do. I pray for the sons and daughters in this house that as they get ready to leave this place, that you will command your blessing upon them. And I declare over you that the Lord our God will bless you. The Lord our God will keep you. The Lord our God will make his face shine upon you. The Lord our God will lift up his countenance on you. The Lord our God will give you his peace. The Lord our God bless you abundantly in all that you do. May he bless the works of your hands, order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with his eye all the days of your life in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agreed said amen. All right, be blessed as you go in Jesus' name. We will see you Sunday, if not before. Have a blessed rest of the week. Jesus.